I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Lying Media Bastard Show, which I have not done in 45 years. I'm not going to give excuses or apologies because that would waste time. I am going to sincerely attempt to do short LMB shows. I'm going to try weekly in the near future. I'm actually trying to get... I have enough balls in the air now that to keep them all from falling on my head, I actually need to get organized. So hopefully I can finally pull this together and get the show going as well as all of the other jobs and school and things I've got going. I really had wanted to do a show about the economy and the Wall Street bailout and those sort of things, but the election... just keeps smacking me in the face. Everything about is about the election. So, gotta go with that instead. First, I just recently read a book by Matt Taibbi, the Rolling Stone journalist who wishes he was Hunter S. Thompson, whose writing style I'm actually very jealous of. He can turn a phrase quite well. But he had a book where he, it's called The Great Derangement. And the book's sort of in equal parts. It's a three-part thing. One is talking mainly about Congress and his experiences researching Congress, talking to congressmen, getting to know the players there. And then he sort of then goes back and forth between what he sees as the two deranged left-wing and right-wing elements who have reacted to a corrupt and totally failing a government system that totally fails to do anything for the people. And he looks at right-wing Christianity and the megachurches of Pastor Hagee. And then he looks at the 9/11 Truth Movement, which he considers to be left-wing in his writings, so whatever. But the Congress part I thought was the most fascinating. He describes it as a closed shop where the lobbyists and the big corporations get the Congress to do work on behalf of them and vice versa. The Congress getting campaign donations from them. And he sees it as almost wholly separate. The government has nothing to do with the people who live in the United States, which was an interesting take. But one of the most revealing part, which when he's talking about the Congress, he talked about the House of Representatives itself, and he says that there's about... 10 or 12 people in the Congress who matter. House Majority Leader and the Speaker of the House, and then leaders, the head people of certain committees, congressional committees, they can control everything if they want to. They can choose which bills get voted on. They can add text to bills after they've been voted on before they get sent over to the Senate. So that, already it's ridiculous that a nation of 300 million people allegedly is represented by 535 people in the Congress. But he's saying that on top of that, narrow that number, at least in the House, from 435 to like 12. And that's your democracy for you. And of course, these congressmen are clearly bought and paid for by lobbyists and big corporations. So that will be in place continually, no matter who gets voted in as president in November. Now, something that, well, on top of it, let me go back a little bit too. The Democrats and the Republicans, it is so weird that sometimes they do seem different. It seems like they stand for different things, they do things differently. But really, the difference is that the Democrats, or the Republicans, they want to maintain their power, and they want to give your money to billionaires. Whereas the Democrats want to maintain their power and give your money to billionaires. So you see the subtle... Okay, I said the same thing twice. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is that on so many things, the Democrats and the Republicans, like on so many core important things, they believe exactly the same thing. And they have different stances on some things which are important, you know, abortion and gay rights and things like that. But generally speaking, you know, they really both agree in the, you know, United States should dominate the world through military force. Our consumer society is great. Free trade is good. We should keep unions weak. Just so many huge issues that, like, you know, they're the skeleton and muscle on the American society. But some of the skin and hair they violently disagree on. I remember when during the last election, when at first we found out that Kerry lost, whether that's legitimate or not, I still suspect that the votes were played with and rigged. When we first found out about the exit polls, they were talking about how values voters had been the ones that had made the big change, that it was basically saying that it was the Christians and the fundamentalists and so on, and they were the ones who had made the big difference. But when you actually looked at the map, it was not a matter of the conservative Christians versus everyone else that had turned the vote. It was really, really urban versus rural split. I mean, that was the big difference. There wasn't red states and blue states, because all the states looked pretty purple. It was actually, if you looked at the breakdown by, you know, counties and districts and things along that map, it was very, very, very blue in all of the urban areas and pretty red most of the other places. So, you know, I really think that we're getting to the point where, you know, all of the candidates can talk about, you know, their policies or beliefs or their experience. And sometimes we think about, you know, who would the person like more, you know, who's more likable candidate, who's going to vote that way. But really, it seems to me that we've gotten to the point, and maybe been there for quite some time, it's us versus them. Just period. That's how people vote. You see yourself as belonging to one group, whether consciously or not, and you vote for the person who is most like that group. I mean, you know, of course, most people listening to this will probably think in terms of, oh yeah, those red staters, the Christians and the rednecks and then the conservatives, they're all going to vote for McCain because, you know, they seem as one of him. I see what you're saying, Jake. They think it's us versus them. No, well, okay, liberals, you're not voting for Obama because he reminds you of you a little bit, his college education and, his tastes and manner and his emphasis on rational things and reasonable things. And I think both sides are doing this plenty. People voting for the person that they feel like is more like them. There is a culture war going on. It's culture war politics from both sides. Everyone, you know, a lot of lefty folks seem to, you know, oh, culture war, it's all those conservatives trying to enforce their values on us. It goes both ways. I think we got, you know, the two generally speaking, these urban and rural cultures that both judge each other and judge each other negatively and think the other one is doing things wrong and should live the way that that you do. You think that everyone should live the way you do. Oh, if only those folks would do things like this and not believe that. And people don't like it. People don't like being told that the way they live their life is wrong and they should do it some other way. It doesn't matter who you are. I suppose you're going to get some masochists here and there who demand that people berate them and deride them for the way that they are. But, culture war. That's where we are. Culture war, us versus them. And both the liberals don't like being judged by the conservatives and the rural folk for, you know, not being Christian enough or, you know, being elitists or whatever. And the rural folks don't like the liberal and the urban folks looking down their nose at them, thinking that they're, you know, they're white trash or they're stupid or uneducated or that their Christian their faith is wrong. Of course, at the end of the day, the urban folks, more of the time, the urban liberal folks have at least have the consolation that they're making a decent living, whereas a lot of the rural folks are really struggling these days. Well, I take that back. There's a lot of struggling all around, but. I think the rise of the in the current McCain campaign, and especially with Governor Palin, that's a culture war taking it to new levels. Because whereas the liberal folks tend to be like, there are these others, the conservative folks, the Christian folks, they're different. You know, we can't let them be in charge. The conservative war cry is now more that the liberals are enemies. They must be destroyed. The liberals are traitors to America. They're a threat to America. Even if Obama does win this election, I think that sentiment is going to stay around. And things are going to be a lot uglier. You know, you're probably going to get more violence. And I haven't even brought up a race yet. I mean, Obama is up in the polls. I saw one polling firm claim that about 6% of the people who say they're going to vote for Obama can be counted on to not vote for Obama because of their own racism. I don't know where they got that number from. They might have been totally wrong, but something like that is something to think about. Also been hearing more about voter suppression efforts. You know, Grant, there was a Supreme Court decision which said that Ohio couldn't take on some of their the tricks they were pulling, and you know it's the Republicans have been doing this for at least a decade, at least since 2000, knowing that there are tricks to and procedures they can use to deprive people of the right to vote, and if they use the certain procedures, they can deprive people of the right to vote who would be more likely to vote Democratic by the numbers and trends, you know. Poor folks and African Americans and college students. There's ways that they can sort of get their names thrown out of the list of eligible voters. Their votes don't count, and now you've got a better chance of Republicans being elected. There's also I watched a BBC report over the weekend by Greg Palast and Robert Kennedy Jr. They argued quite strongly that the voter suppression efforts by Republicans are massive. They were claiming that 10 million people who had registered to vote were not going to have their votes count in the 2008. So that may be a big deal. And then another thing I've been thinking too with the impact of the economy and this bailout, $700 billion. Jesus Christ, I believe that is more money than the entire Iraq war, which is, we've been saying for years, is a ridiculous amount of money. And now Bush is talking about organizing some sort of global summit to have people come and talk about the economy. At first I thought, wow, that's a surprisingly rational, reasonable thing for Bush to say. That's he doesn't usually do that sort of thing. But then I realized, getting the world's leaders together to talk about ways to change a financial system, oh man, they're going to screw us so bad. Think about these corrupt bastards getting together and talking about ways to radically shake things up to protect us all. But no, it got me thinking about the book The Shock Doctrine, where Naomi Klein talks a number of times about the ways in which sometimes there's been a government who like does terrible, terrible things, and finally, after years of struggle, the people manage to throw that government out and put a new system in, and they find that they've been looted. You know, it's like there's the evil grocery store down the way. You finally get the owner of the grocery store out of power. And you got good people running the grocery store, and you walk in the door the first time, and all the food is gone from the shelves. You know, in her book, Klein talks about how Bush has been hollowing out the U.S. government. mostly by in terms of taking established agencies, cutting the funding, or if not cutting the funding, then outsourcing things. Even if you got the best, brightest, most compassionate human ever to become president, a lot of the stuff's going to be locked in, and they might not be able to do much. If such and such agency, if Health and Human Services had already been outsourced and virtually destroyed, that's going to be hard to fix. And same thing with this, this rotten economy. Okay, well, Obama gets elected, and now what? How's he going to fix this? And then, of course, we've also seen the Republicans are ramping up their story. I don't like that I'm using the term ramping up. I've been reading too many political blogs that use those sort of cliché phrases. Right now, I hear what I was going to say. Oh, yes. A lot of Republicans seem to be preemptively putting out these stories that will justify why they lost. Like, they're trying to argue very hard about these Democratic acts of fraud, voter fraud that are going on. Acorn is registering people fraudulently. And they're also going to try to argue something about race. It's all because all the blacks voted for Obama. That's why he got in. It's not because they like him or because he's going to be a good president. It's just racism, man. And I think we're going to see a much uglier, Rush Limbaugh-ized conservative movement in this country. Because I do think that Obama will win. I think so many people are, the Republican brand, as they say, is in the toilet. I don't know. I'm not optimistic for the future. And as I said before, it's rough talking about any sort of political issues besides the election at this moment. And it probably will be for at least, a half a year into the Obama, administration, provided he gets it, gets the election. Because people will be, what's he going to do now? First 100 days, second 100 days, it'll be a hell of a time, People seem to think of him as this anti-war candidate, yet at the same time, both he and McCain have been trying to, who talks the toughest about Iran and Pakistan, and God, giving myself a headache. Okay, I fully depressed myself, and you too, I hope. My plan for this, my new short radio show was going to be, I was to save time. I was not even going to play any music. I was playing my opening intro, play my chatting at you guys, and then not play any music like I was doing before. But I do have a little bit of good political music that's come out lately. I'm going to play this song for you. You might have heard it on the radio, depending on where you are. The band is One Day as a Lion, which is Zach De La Rocha's new project. It's from Rage Against the Machine. He raps, sings, plays keyboards, and then there's a fellow whose name I forget who's the drummer. It's nice. It's got a nice sort of that weird electro rap. I can't think of a good example. It's a nice sound to it. This song is called Wild International, I think. No, I can't even remember. But it is a good song. They have an EP of this album out. An EP out. They're going to be putting out an album, I guess, later in the year. I think it's amusing that Zach has been trying to act like this is, underground. We're not going to, market this much. We're going to try to let word of mouth spread it. Yet I see ads for this on the back of every bus in my city. But I guess to his credit, they're not hyping it as, the new album by the singer of Rage Against the Machine. They're just sort of, putting it up their little graffiti-esque logo and telling people to listen. So I'm going to play that song, and then I'm out of here, and hopefully I'll see y'all next week. Might have one more song. Hopefully I can get talking about the economy. See y'all next week. They say that in war, the truth be the first casualty. So I think it's selector, I, the resurrector. Fly my shit, sever your neck. Why never, never with my trunk dipped in fuck arsenic. Burn his illusion and lie with straight arson shit. Your arsenal strip, power rifle jackets and clips. It's my ability to define phenomena raw. Crenshaw 84, boogie down before L.A. when the war break off. Where you be, take off, standing full face off with the M1 millimeter. Let the rhythm of the chamber hit 'em. Let the rich blade catch with 'em. Better yet, make 'em eat 'em and shit 'em till they so for the holes that they drown in their own. I'm like a nail stuck in the wrist, and they Christmas don't need radio to leave.
the deathbed agents. The track was fast from a disaster's wrath for sure. Air war is flooded like the night ward. On the AM, on the AM, turn and face them. Hatred and mayhem, slay them. Dangerous, I take razor steps. It's a swing from the bling to the bang of the left. It's the murderous return, boom, bad, full strap. Your six, they got clipped, you can't clap back. With minimal lift and criminal flow, I'm killing them soft and filling the foe. Everything stole, and one